please take your seats. The meeting is coming back to order. In spite of my best efforts, that was more than 5 minutes. Everybody back to the table. Come on, come on, back to the table, back to the table, back to your seats. Hurry up. Yeah. The chair will note that Cynthia Johnson has arrived. Welcome, Cynthia. It's okay. Okay. Are we ready? We are at the agenda item of the Treasurer's Report, which will include the question of the 2012 budget. And so, Barbara, take it away.
Good afternoon, everyone. You've all received a copy of the latest version of the budget. There were very few of you who attended the question and answer meetings we had last week, and those who did will note, and as the chair has noted, this budget is different by a number of dollars compared to the one that we had last week. And it's because of a number of things, many of which will be explained by Maria. But I want to just make one note right now, ask everybody to make a correction on here. We were going through many figures over and over, and Maria is continuing to proofread everything, and she's discovered that there was a miscalculation that we could put on this budget right now, and it will change things by $11,000. So on the very first page, where you see it's line 35, column, what is this, A, B, the net income, net loss. This is before we put in the capital expenditures, which show on the next page. But there should be, in that figure, you should add $11,000 to the 25,508, so that the bottom line there is 36,508. And the place that the correction is made is in line 23, column AB. The total personnel costs are not 1,819,107. They're 1,808,107. So that changes that total. And on the next page, when you get to the line 56, column AB, where we appear to be in overdraft by 49,992,000, that figure is, the overdraft is reduced by 11,000, so it comes out to 38,992 as an overdraft figure. We obviously were not able to present a completely balanced budget. These things are still being worked on, but in fact, we've included many things that, you know, in the meetings that we have had where people were requesting things, and Andrew had things to ask that we correct and change. Now, one thing that is different on this, another one thing that I want to point out that's different on this budget than was the one we looked at last week, is that the central services figure is actually what it has been all along. It's 19.5%. And yes, and I had pushed Maria to make the budget that we had last week have the 18.5%, which many people on the LSB and many people not on the LSB think is a correction we ought to be able to make. The word that I've gotten from Andrew as far as his communications with his boss and people in the national office is that really, the people who can make this change would be the National Finance Committee recommending it to the National Board. So as your representative, one of them, on the National Finance Committee, I intend to bring up this point again and try to present it as a matter of fairness that we should have 1% reduction in the central services in lieu of rent for the space that the national office occupies. But in this budget here today, there is the central services are figured at 19.5%. The difference between that 1% we've discovered when we were doing all these calculations is $30,000. In other words, KPFA could have $30,000 more in their budget to spend if, in fact, we got this $30,000 reduction in lieu of rent for the national office. Now, and I'm saying this is something that isn't going to be settled today, but you can certainly vote your opinion on it, but it is something that will have to be pursued later. Now, I'm going to ask Margie to referee this discussion. I'm probably putting more pressure on her than she wants today, but I feel like that would be helpful. However, before I hand the microphone over to her for questions, I think Maria should give us her thoughts this morning. She's been working long and hard and listening to a lot of people and incorporating a lot of things. So take it over.
I also have to give kudos to Barbara because she was next to me for 12 hours yesterday. Whoa. From 11 to 11. So, yeah. And without dinner, too. just to piggyback on that that 1% difference, yes, it's $30,000, the difference. And the fairness value is that we are not receiving rental income from that building next door, which at fair market value would be, at my last estimate, which was last year, was about $48,000. So if that building were ours to rent out, we'd earn $48,000. We would still pay the extra percent, but the point is that we're losing $18,000 approximately. So that's, and everybody knows that's my big pet peeve, but I'll leave it at that. The bottom line corrections from last week's meetings, and I'm really sorry that people didn't come because, you know, it would have been good to have, from those meetings, I get more ideas, and then actually Tracy brought something up that I corrected. And this spreadsheet, like I've said for 2 years now, is extremely complicated, and it's not specific to the radio stations. We have to tweak it quite often. And one of the things that I realized I missed was, Tracy, on the renewal postage, I was missing the actual from the postage machine. That the renewal postage is actually calculated within the spreadsheet, but I missed a big chunk of it. So I did correct that, and you'll see that that's more in line with other years. We've added expenses, as Barbara said. We've kind of received requests and suggestions from people. We have an expense added in there for what we are calling the UPSO Emergency Fund, and that's a whole different area of subject that, you know, I just received the request and input it into the budget. I'm sorry. I guess I've been thinking about them so often, I just kind of know, you know. Okay, on the postage line, that is, let's see. No, it's under development expenses. It would be on your last page, and it would be, yes, on the four-page spreadsheet. Let me see, I'm sorry. Yes. So I had it much lower, and when I recalculated, unfortunately, it went the, you know.
So what is it now?
It's column AB, line 139.
And what is it now?
It is what's in front of you is $31,844.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, that was a major portion. That's like I said. Yeah, contributed to the change going the wrong way. Of course, the central services. That's the $30,000. The other thing that I
go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, that one we just, for lack of, you know, knowing where to put it, you know, last night we just put it under administrative expenses, and it's under miscellaneous administrative expense, and that's an extra about $2,500. Yeah, $600 for election costs for UPSO and $2,000 for the emergency fund.
There was one other item we put in that same category that was from the ADA list.
I'm sorry, can you tell us what line that is?
It's in administrative expenses, other. So now we're explaining what's in the total of other. Okay.
109, thank you.
Okay, so one other thing that got put into that category that between the budget from the previous week and one we ended up with yesterday was from the ADA list of things that needed to be corrected around the station, and it was $750 for a 6-hour sensitivity training about disability for staff, paid and unpaid staff at the station. So that's one item that got added yesterday. There were a few other items from the ADA list that has been drawn up in previous years. Many of you have seen it before, that we also added. They came into supplies and expense category for Braille signs that haven't been used, and that seems to be an easy thing to put up, and a couple of other things that were in building maintenance. Some of the items that had been requested are too big to tackle right now, like whether or not we've got the right fixtures and wiring to improve, increase lighting in certain areas. It's not that those items have gone away. It's just that we picked the ones this time that we felt were possible to accomplish. Whether we've got the money is, you know, another. I like to call our budget system of, what is the phrase I use? I've lost it. Wishful thinking or something.
Well, we took a lot of people's wish lists.
Leap of faith budgeting is what we do.
I do want it for the board members, I'm sorry, audience, we didn't make enough for everybody, just the board members. There's this clip together, 15-page, yeah. And this is a little bit more detail that flows into the budget. The first two pages, the top of the first page is what we expect to do on our fund drives. We were very conservative on this. Due to programming changes and such, we can't really rely on what we've done last year or in previous years because, you know. Yeah, so we were pretty conservative on that. In the past, we have budgeted about $30,000 to $35,000 a day. We've, you know, only one is above $30,000. So, yeah. Lowered our expectations. The other thing that that affected the budget from this, the one that was emailed to the one today, is our CPB. That portion was input or they filled it in. The national office filled in our CPB money. I got a little nervous because I saw that last year we were at $250,000 that we received from CPB, and the year before that was $300,000. Well, this year they had put $300,000 in again. And I'm like, well, you know, everything is so up in the air. So what we did is we took the average of the two and, you know, came up with a $278,000. So, you know, it's a guess as to what CPB is going to do.
Reduce the income between last week's budget that you saw and this, and it's a more perhaps realistic picture of what we're going to get from CPB.
If we get more, I guess that's just called gravy, right? On page 2, that shows you again the central services, and I'm sorry, I left it at 18.5% there, but that's not true. That's not where the calculation comes from, so that's just a input number. But again, you can see that there is another station that does have the 18.5%, and that is in lieu of rent for PRA. But anyway, let's see. Then the next page is central services, and that shows you how central services is calculated. You can see here that it is calculated at that 19.5%, 17 to national office, 2.5 to PRA. And I gave a little note down at the bottom that's kind of in italics there. Central services at 18.5% gives us the deficit. Well, now that's changed. But the difference between 18.5 and 19.5 is $29,553, so basically $30,000. Next page is our payroll. And the line item, the very first item under programming, that's where we had gone back and forth and back and forth with a bunch of different numbers, and that's the one that I forgot to change. So that one should not be 60 but 50 right now.
That's the $11,000 difference. Correction I had to ask you all to make.
Okay. And then finally on the back is 11 pages of more detail as to what the income is and what the expenses are. I want to point out that I've made notes as to how I came up with these numbers, so whether I estimated, whether I averaged them. In the very far right column, there's numbers that I've averaged, and that's how I came up. So, like, for example, in donation income for fiscal year 11, the average is $14,900. I came in conservative at $13,000 a month. Donation income, that's where the development director can really play a big part in it, because the money that we've been receiving from donation income and major donation income is purely a fluke. It's just like, it's a surprise. When we get a $10,000 check, I run around the office telling everybody that we received a $10,000 check. But development director really, or consultant, would really help with that. Car donations. Thanks to Rich Withers, we've just contracted with a new company, and we're expecting more money from them. And then also they contribute to the advertising, or maybe advertising is not direct, promotional of car. Well, Rich did the carts, but they provide the promotion and stuff as well. So we are expecting that that's going to go up. I originally had $5,000. I'm sorry, Andrew, you had mentioned that. And we did bring it down to $2,700. And I did that based on, again, being conservative. My biggest fear with income is that in the past we've had some optimistic income budgets, and then, you know, I continue to say, you know, under promise and over deliver, you know, so if we get more, wonderful. Next year it'll be a little bit easier. Corporate match is, again, a guess, and it's anybody's guess. Let's see. Then board expenses, as you all know, the LSB will be starting their election for this next period. So I'm not sure. I've heard kind of two different, you know, years, months, whether it's going to be September, October, I'm not sure. So if I could get that pinned down, that would be great. But right now I have it like we're starting it. This is on line 77, by the way, on, I'm not sure what page. Two.
10 page.
Yeah. And so that's, again, not knowing what you all are going to do, I just kind of had to put numbers in. Yes. Yeah. The consultant on the next line, which we took out the salary line item for development director and made this person a consultant, which Andrew spoke about earlier. You know, and then what we did is we put that in as a consultant line item, and then further down, deeper into this 10-page, 11-page document, you'll see that I upped the expense for major donor expense and certain expenses that we expect that a development director would have to go and schmooze and do this and that. And it's just part of the business. I mean, so. Telephone, again, I was conservative because we, of course, are getting the new phone system, and we recently signed a new contract with AT&T. We've had major problems with this darn contract. We can't get them to get us the right invoices. So Belinda, my partner in the business office, she is constantly on the phone griping with them. So there's a few other choice words, but that's...
We have an agreement, but the bills haven't shown that.
No, a lot of the bills do show it. We're just always up and down, and we haven't been able to pin down what exactly our savings has been. We do know there is a savings. But regardless, even there's going to be a greater savings because of the new phone system. So, again, that's kind of hard to know for the future. Let's see. Professional services. That's the next line. That is our lovely legal bill. I've been in... That is line 128 of this 11-page document. And legal services, I have been in contact with our lawyer, our attorney. He's wonderful. I absolutely adore him. And he has given me, pretty, set figures. We will probably be spending from here till September an average $13,000 to $15,000 a month more, per month. For the end of the year, in this year. And then he projects that it would overflow 15,000 approximately into October, November. If the case he's working on gets thrown out, then we're done. But we won't know that until, I think, the end of September. So that's why I went ahead and put it in as 15,000. Don't want to be pessimistic, but I also don't know what the future brings. So. And we put in $5,000 a month because, again, no anybody's guess. I mean, if we don't have any of these lawsuits that we've been having, then we have no legal expense. But so far, hasn't happened. Interest bank charges. Bank charges, I keep trying to dwindle these down with Wells Fargo. Wells Fargo, well, I think all major banks like to give us lots of fees. The office I did on line 190, for example, where it says office and supplies expense. That's I've made little notes where I've added something, which was where the Braille signs in this case. Taxes and stuff are what they are. Utilities, I'm estimating an additional 5%. I haven't seen or heard of any increases. I don't know. Do you know of any, Anthony? Utility increases?
Well, alas, I don't work at that place anymore.
So. Yeah, so I, get best guess of adding 5% just in case. Repairs and maintenance. We... desperately, and you'll see that line item in the budget when I get back to that. We desperately need better security in the station. We have had things ripped off from the station as well. There are people who work. Pardon me? It happens, yeah. I mean, Yoshida doesn't kind of come out and tell us every time, but then he'll like, oh, yeah, well, that's missing, and that's missing, and, so. But the other thing, too, is our people's security or safety. There are people, I was there yesterday late, and there was one young lady from the apprenticeship program who was staying, and I was actually nervous. I mean, it was like past 11 o'clock, and she was practically there by herself. I don't know who else was in the station. So we have minimal security, and a lot of people have access to our building. People who stay late are people like Eileen who come in at 5 o'clock in the morning, So we have an additional $200 a month for security monitoring. Oh, excuse me, that's for the transmitter. But we will be having additional security for the building itself as well. Computer maintenance. Oh, I'm sorry, the light switch, yes. Light switch and pipe insulation. We've added $200, which is minimal for...
where are we?
I'm sorry, line 230, 240.
That's added from the ADA list. That $200 to deal with some light switch situation and covering the hot water pipes is an ADA issue.
One of the things, pardon me? One of the things that came out of the discussion from the people who came this last Tuesday and Wednesday was that I had put everything into website expense until I spoke to Roger, who is our contractor, yes, who's working on the web, the telephone, and our system, our computer systems. Our computer systems, there's always something that's got to be done to them. And so I have reallocated Roger's expenses to computer maintenance and web. So that line item's a little higher, but the web expense is a little bit lower. Let's see. Oh, that is because corporate office quite often will make entries into our general ledger account, and I have no idea what they're doing. And if you see there at negative 31,000, that went elsewhere look at line 244 for computer maintenance, and you'll see a $30,000. So they've reclassified something. So... Which line item? I'm sorry.
318 compared to 317.
Well, can I get to that in just a minute?
Okay.
Can we hold questions? Just make a little note. Okay. All right.
Other administrative. We added $2,000 for the EPSO emergency fund and $600 for the EPSO election expense, and I put it into October because I didn't know what's happening. November.
750.
Yes.
Now, where are you?
I'm sorry. Well,
268,
269, okay. And November, I added 750 for the disability sensitivity training. The CAC training on the next page, line 271, that is for the apprenticeship program. And we, as you can see, the totals for previous years have been very minimal, going way down to so far $310. But it is the wish and hope of a lot of the management of KPFA that the apprenticeship program be amped up a little bit. So we've allocated some money for that. Let's see, news service, that's kind of just general stuff. Satellite, maintenance technical. The website expense, there we go. That's where I reallocated the money. It was $103,000, I believe it was. 313, sorry. It's just the next page. So the total expense I've got allocated for that is about $3,800 a month. And that is, and I made this note over here on line 319. Please ignore that. It was late last night, and when I made that, I forgot to change those dollar figures. Or maybe I did. No, that is true. That is for fixing our web, and it also incorporates the expense of our external servers, LMI and ViaNet. And don't ask me what they do because I have no idea, but I know they're necessary. Let's see, other programming. Utilities, again, well, I didn't increase it 105%. I increased it 5%. The next page, 348. Is basically, there's where we, on line 383 on major donor gift and donor, 383, is we increased for the potential increase. And then also, I'm sorry, line 374 and 388, we've increased hoping that we can, you know, get a little bit more promotion for KPFA through a development director. And that's about it for the expenses. So then if you want to go back to the budget itself, this whole packet gives you a backup or explanation as to what's in just the four-page long budget here. Central services, again, are at 19.5%. Page 2, line 30, it starts at line 36. Those are capital line items. And I have noted what is the expenditures that we are expecting to do, which the telephone system, even though the majority of it is in 2011, we have the ISDN line replacements, the actual phones, I guess, for the studios. And again, I just take the notes and don't know exactly what the technicalities of them all are. Computers, our computers are dying. Michael and Antonio and Roger do a very good job at trying to cannibalize all of the computers we have, piecing them together and all this kind of stuff, but I think we're coming to an end for a lot of our computers. And at the request of our general manager, I've put in I guess $6,000 isn't a ton of money, but you know, we don't normally put that line item in. Those are all wishful thinking type line items, but if your computer is broken, you can't do your job, so, you know. Line 43, which is the broadcast and technical portion of it. Again, I've made my notes as best as possible. If any of you know what these things are for, then great, tell me about them. But I take my notes from Michael Yoshida. But I will tell you that, like on the first item, the Burke system for $12,000, apparently we have, this is a replacement to the current one we have. We do not have a replacement one, and if the one that we have breaks down, someone will literally have to sit at the transmitter 24/7. So Rich is shaking his head. I forgot. That's right. We have a technical, very technical person here. So, you know, until we get a replacement, someone will have to man the transmitter. The next one, the Omni One processor, apparently is needed for the quality of the internet streaming. And since we're going in that direction, I think that's probably at $2,500, that's not a big expense. The Commerce Access is a 4G technology. And Michael did say this is a wish and not a need. So I put it way down in September. So it's an if and when needed type of thing. Apparently 3G is kind of going away, and, you know, and 4G will be coming up. But Michael doesn't expect it to happen this year, so that's kind of a wish item. And then the Crown Exciter, the replacement backup that we have is apparently at only 50% power. So if we don't get this and our current one goes down, what does that mean?
It's the initial part that creates the signal for an amp. It's called an exciter, then it runs through an amplifier. So if it only can produce 50% of its power, the amplifier can only produce 50%
of the
power.
Okay, and what does that mean for the listener? Okay. So did everybody hear that? Yeah. Okay.
And that's for the backup.
It is a backup, yes, because the one that we have now, I guess, is 100%, but our backup is only 50%. Okay. And then line 51 is for our security system at 1929 MLK. Line 54 is the three-year commitment that we have been put into to refund or replace the Heath money bequest that National Office used, and so all the stations are being asked to reimburse or replenish the Heath money. And then we go to you know, the salary expenses, which has the detail in that other packet that's all stapled together. And let's see.
Well, there's a breakdown here.
There is a breakdown, but on the big...
Salaries, payroll taxes.
Right. And that's all kind of... I did a little summary on this big packet. The thick packet is all there as well. But yes, this has the payroll taxes, the 403 health benefits, and we do reimburse child care per the contract. Again, LSB election I spoke about earlier. And then the rest of it is the third page, line 83, starts administrative expenses, line 117, programming, and 134, development, and 153 is community events. So a lot of those come from, they flow in from other spreadsheets within. There are about 25 spreadsheets in this workbook. So if I give you all 25 sheets, you'll have literally a book. So these are just kind of the highlights that I gave you. So there are questions.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to open the floor up for questions. I want to point out that we set aside 75 minutes for this discussion, and we're 40 minutes into it, which leaves us 35 minutes for questions and discussion and any action we might want to take. And I'll just say right here that I think we might have to extend the time on this discussion, but let's begin. Andrea Turner. We started a quarter up.
Thank you both for giving us a pretty detailed budget here. I really do appreciate it, and sorry that I can't participate like I would like to. On some of the subcommittees, you know, working on this. Just a quick question. The address, 1929, that includes the Pacifica office? Or
in terms of the security, or you're just asking a general question?
Do we pay utilities for them? Do we pay electricity? Security for them?
We have three addresses. We have 1921, 1925, and 1929, of course. We pay all expenses for 1929 and 1921, which we call Knock Upon, the corner building. Mm-hmm. What we pay for 1925 that they do not reimburse for are the property taxes.
Yeah, my other question is, where did you put the UPSO?
Administrative?
Yeah, that.
You're talking about the UPSO emergency fund? And
yes.
Okay. It's on the budget itself. It's line item.
Okay.
Here it is, 109.
109. Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. And my final question is... went out the backside of my other cerebral part of my brain, but I'll come back to it.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so I saw Andrea Turner and then Tracy. I mean, Andrea Pritchett and then Tracy.
Well, I wanted to check in on the crafts fair. I was looking at some of the numbers there, and it looked like on page 4 it says that the crafts fair coordinator is $44,000 annually.
I'm sorry. Oh, well, where are you looking at? I'm sorry. Not.
I'm sorry. Page 4 in the 11-page document.
Oh, in the small one. Okay.
Yeah.
Small pages.
Yeah, so what I see is.
What line item are we looking at?
Page 4. What is there?
Page 4. There's no specific line. I guess it's.
It's page 1 of 2 of the salary.
Yes.
But it's 4 pages in.
There you go. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay.
So I see $43,978 for the crafts fair coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
I see crafts fair staff at $16,759. And then in the other document, the very last line of the legal size says that the total budget of expenses for the crafts fair. I'm sorry. Oh, that's crafts fair and special events.
Well, yeah, it's all crafts fair.
It's
74,000. So 74,000 with the 60, that's 134,000 is basically what it costs to do the crafts fair. And it looks like we're saying total revenue is about 150 for this year. So all that energy is going to be for $16,000. And
this last one was about a net of about
$27,000. Yeah, and the way the economy is heading and stuff. So I'm really sort of skeptical about whether that's a wise choice for us, because I sort of feel like, you know, to bet on a more sure thing, like, gosh, it feels like if we threw all that money behind the web development or the transmitter signal extending, or that there's more sure things. Because once you take the costs, I'm guessing that the crafts fair coordinator also gets some benefits.
Yes.
And if you factor in those benefits, we're not making money, significant money, to justify all the activity and all the buzz and all the sort of hidden ways that putting on that event takes people's attention from other things that they might be doing. Yeah. So I know that that's kind of painful, because that's a beloved event and activity and really a foundational thing for us. But I think in these times, there's a real kind of cruel, ugly pragmatism that we might have to consider.
Ouch.
Yeah. I guess KPFA's Crafts Fair is kind of an institution.
Do I need to make a motion of some kind?
Well, let's just have discussion now, and we'll set aside time at the end for motions.
Okay? I in numbers and in theory, I have to agree with you. You know, it's a lot of effort to put in behind little, you know. So I
volunteers who show up there, they would be volunteering at home in some other place.
Yeah. It's a lot of work. I mean, I see what she goes through, and I see when I have to like help her with the calculation of where we are. So,
well, we might also take into account that there are a lot of people who participated in the crafts fair.
Wait, excuse me.
I didn't call on you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We're gonna talk.
Maria did.
I'm sorry. No, we'll talk about that later. Thank you. Okay, Tracy.
Yeah, a couple of things. I think that the overall revenue number at about 3.6 is more or less on target. As people know, we're ahead on our listener support this year, and we booked 3.5 in fiscal year 2010. However, that said, if we look, and I'm on the legal paper, at item number, line 17, account 5810, mm-hmm. I think that the better part of wisdom might be not to budget $60,000 from the Mateel Environmental Justice Foundation when we did that in fiscal year 2010, and we didn't get anything. And we did that in fiscal year 2011, and we didn't get anything. I think at some point, you know, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again.
Well, the one thing I can say about
Can I finish questions, please? Okay. Secondly, when I had the meeting with you on Wednesday night, the personnel costs figure was 1.789. This is line 23. It came out in this printout as 1.84, and you explained that you were lowering it to 1.808. Mm-hmm. So that's still...
Tracy, it's very hard to understand you. Maybe you could hold the mic a little further away from your mouth.
Okay. So it looks like it's $20,000 different than it was on Wednesday. So I just like an explanation of that difference. And let's see, what's the last item? Okay, the last item is, well, it's a little more expanded. As a note, the NFC is really not accepting deficit budgets from LSB, so we will need to problem solve here. But in terms of the website expenses and computer repair items, I think in general we need to make some category differentiations between what are consulting fees and what are bills that are paid for the maintenance. Yeah, in other words, service bills or new drums or hard drives or, you know, specific computer maintenance costs. And again, website expenses, there are bills that are paid and there are consulting fees. I think it is a little both confusing and it throws off year-to-year comparisons to squinch consulting fees into those categories. And I'm not particularly pleased that we're doing it that way. We do have a category for consultants fees, so maybe that's where we should put consulting fees. As a larger issue, it seems to me if we're going to spend $108,000 on technical consulting, which is the number that it was on Wednesday. I don't know if it changed. I'm just going off of that because it's been split up and put in different categories. I mean, that's, you know, that's a heck of a lot of money. That's six figures. My sense of it would be for that, we should either have a much improved website or perhaps an employee who is working full time with all of the accountability that, you know, that one doesn't have with a consultant contractor. It seems to me like a lot of money to pay to sort of prop up systems that we've all admitted need a lot of work. And in a way that doesn't really build a lot of assets, either knowledge base on the staff or better systems in place that we need. So I just sort of question whether that's the best way to spend that $108,000.
It's 103. It was 103, not 180.
Okay, it was $9,000 a month times 12.
Okay. Can I just real quick before?
Yes.
To start with the web, because I feel pretty adamant about this. First of all, he's not a consultant. He's a contractor. He's not just telling us what should be done and what, you know, he's actually doing it. He's doing it. And if you look at the hours, first of all, I brought every bill of his because I had an anticipation that this was going to happen. And he is more than happy to, and we plan on after the fund drive, so the second week of August or so, third week, yeah. We plan on having a little workshop because we know that a lot of you have a lot of questions about this. I have full confidence in this man. Not that I have anything to say about it because I'm not his boss or anything, but the man is just a genius. And if we were to have him as an employee, we'd probably be paying him more than the GM and probably more than the ED. I mean, you know, if you want quality, you have to pay for quality. The problem is that we didn't have anybody to deal with the web. We had Michael, yes, and we had Antonio, which is, you know, more on the IT or in terms of our internal computers. But we had nobody to concentrate on the web. And it was breaking, 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 breaking. You know, so this he is now trying to monitor all of that. I did reallocate it per your request, which I thought was a good request, and so I reallocated it to computer maintenance and website expense. I don't think he should be in a consultant because he's actually working. Again, he's not giving us ideas. He's contract services. So, and again, here's the, you know, the invoices. It's to me, it should be in Russian because it makes all the same kind of sense to me. But anyway, so he has had to work a lot on trying to fix issues, and he has actually saved us money on some of these LMI and Bionet and all this kind of stuff that he's doing. And he's also contracting, helping on the telephone system, which takes some time. And, you know... one other thing I have to say is he has someone who also works on the web with him, and that person is paid out of his salary. So we're getting two for the price of one. So, and I really urge you to come to his meeting in 2 weeks. Yes, he reports to Michael Yoshida, and then of course to Andrew.
What is his hourly rate?
75.
Okay.
Wait a minute. She had other questions.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, and I might have a follow-up. Go ahead.
You're going to have to remind me because I get... Yeah. No. In terms of the Mateel Fund.
The Mateel Fund is the $60,000 projected income.
Yes, it's line 17.
Shh, don't talk.
We received a letter from them back for the 2011, and it was promised to us, and that money comes... it does come from... lawsuits that this this firm wins and then in turn gives money to nonprofits such as ourselves, and it's for environmental reporting. apparently his last case did not go well, but that promise is still there. We have it in writing, and he has promised it to us. So however that money is going to come to us, I don't know. I'm not figuring 120. I'm not saying 60 from last year and 60 for this year. I left him a message. He and Eileen are very close, but Eileen's been on a very extended vacation. I left him a message. He hasn't been able to get back to me yet. But the way I do understand it is that it also comes out of a foundation, not just... So apparently that foundation's already been funded, and we're expecting money. I don't know, Tracy, maybe you could call him and ask him, but I don't know what the specifics are about it.
Okay. I just want to say it's open question enough that we went round and round about this yesterday and tried to decide whether we should take it out or leave it in. And we voted for the fact that it seems that this money will eventually come. We didn't get it this year, and we feel that the commitment is strong. So I guess it could become an item that people can vote on, whether you think we should have it in there or not. But our best guess is that it should be in this next coming year's budget.
And the salary adjustment was the third question.
We kind of went around and around with this as well, and that's where my $11,000 error was. We have projected, there are certain positions, I guess I'll just have to say it, such as board oping. We had underestimated what the board oping was last year. And it's a necessary job that apparently we don't get enough volunteers to do. We were very wishful that it was going to happen, but we don't. We have very, very good what we call occasional temp board ops, and we pay them for their good services. So that's part of, we've upped that to be the actual.
The FTE, so that we don't have this business of being overdrafted.
Oh, right.
It's bringing it to reality.
So the answer is it's 20,000 more in board oping.
Well, no, it's not just board oping. There's just other okay. items.
It's mostly board oping.
I could give you a very detailed thing, but on Monday.
Okay. Other questions? The chair would like to note that Pam Drake has arrived. Thank you, Pam. Okay, Jack.
For the next year's budget, is a position of development director in the budget?
No. Well, it's as a consultant.
I'm sorry?
It's an expense item as a consultant, so we don't have it as an employee.
I see. How does the decision about whether or not to budget for a development director get made?
Andrew, do you want to speak to that? Sorry, I didn't mean to.
Thanks, Jack. It's a very important question. since I've been at the network, the foundation, I've been struggling with this. We had last year, this current year, an amount of $50,000 in our budget projected. And I think I mentioned last time that we had discussed a strategy of spending part of that money on consultants, I use the word advisedly, people who might go out and arrange events, special events for us. But however, given the state of the finances and that our fundraising was not meeting its budget obligations, I think we came in about $80,000 short in our last membership drive. And we got cold feet on that. With that in mind, I realised that development could perhaps be part of my job, and so I've started to explore ways in which I could insinuate myself more into that position. But that's not answering your question. We do have some money in the budget for development consultancy. As I mentioned, I'm meeting with a development consultant this coming week who had given a presentation at the National Federation of Community Broadcasters, very good, Kim Klein. So we are trying to get some kind of traction in terms of development. But we're behind the eight ball. I think at the last meeting, Tracy had pointed out that to get a good development director would probably require a salary more than the general manager, which is okay by me, but it costs a lot to get a good development director, one. And secondly, that the results may take 18 months before we actually started to realise some returns from it. I do think that I can reach out through mailings and through internet and through phone connection with donors. We have roughly less than 100, I think, people have donated more than $1,000. I think that number's correct. And we're reaching out to those people. So we are looking towards development. Does that answer part of the question?
First, thank you for the response. I understand that, you know, at first glance, you're behind the eight ball and that you're trying to do the best that you can do. I have a different view of it. My view of it is that KPFA needs a full-time development director. And I think that KPFA needs a full-time development director now. I understand that it takes a full-time development director some time to get things rolling. I do not accept that that constitutes a reason or an excuse not to put one on board. So my view is that we cannot break out of the financial cycle that we currently are in without having a development director who can do the job that needs to be done. With authentic respect for your efforts or Carrie's efforts or other staff members' efforts, we need it. And for reasons that I don't understand, there are many, many levels of resistance to having a development director. It breaks people's hearts on this board to consider having a development director. And I would say that as someone whose heart has been broken many times in my life, suck it up. Do it. Make it a priority. Have it done so that we have a way looking out of the mess that we're in.
Henry and then Frank.
Couple of things. First of all, I just want to note that I think since this document, the long multi-page one, at least implicitly includes a lot of salary information, it should be considered confidential, right?
It's not distributed except to the LSE.
Right, but it's not marked, as far as I can see, as confidential. So just a reminder.
At 11 o'clock at night, you're lucky we got copies.
No, I'm just trying to point that out to people on the board.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
But that's why it was only distributed to the...
Okay, fine. The second point is I do want to agree with Jack about that, about the development director. And
yeah.
And I also want to relate it back to the observations earlier about the crafts fair. I don't have it in front of me. What was the number for the expense on the crafts fair? Was it like, well, if we were to spend, and for a return of somewhere between $16,000 and $30,000, if we could spend $100,000 on a development director and even a halfway competent, a less than competent development director, I'm sure would return more than $30,000 on the investment. So maybe we should scrap the crafts fair and use the money for a development director. That would be my suggestion. I'm not sure what downside there would be to that. And the last point I want to make is just about the website stuff. You know, with all respect to your observations about Roger, whom I don't know, and, you know, he may be very competent and, as you say, a genius and so on, it is the case, as far as I can see, that this is basically a budget that is, you know, at best would produce a status quo with a website, a maintenance budget. And again, I understand that, you know, it's hard to conjure up money for major investment, but I just want to say that there has been a lot of sentiment on this board and among other active members of the KPFA community that moving the website into the 21st century, if I can put it that way, which is not just a question of tweaking and keeping it going, but doing some major work to add interactivity and community and social networking and multimedia and so on, a very different concept from what's the philosophy that's built into the current website. And this budget, there's no way that's going to happen with this budget. So, you know, that is a choice we're making, I guess, with this budget. I'm not sure how we would make a different choice, but I just want to highlight that fact, because I do think that more every year that we put off, put off modernizing our website, we're edging closer to, trapping ourselves in a technology that's just way behind the times and not appealing in particular to young people. And it's going to hurt us in the long run.
Can I just real quick first? I have a comment about the contract consultant, whatever the heck you want to call it, about both development director and web. Both those positions, and I'm sure all of you are professional people, both of those positions are extremely high-paid positions out in the real world. And as much as I would love to have, you know, a high-paid person to develop our web and to develop our development money, fundraising, I mean, that's a pipe dream. This is a budget that keeps us status quo. But I can't, project what a potential, whether it's a permanent or a contract development director is going to bring in. I've put the development director budget into the budget for the last 3 years. And, year after year after year, crap happens in the station. It's like we get the decisions get taken over by other people. We lose GMs. We gain GMs. We have chaos. We have lawsuits. There has been so many things that has unfortunately derailed where the concentration should be. We can't, with all due respect to Andrew's idea about the thousand, to contact people who's paid over $1,000, we can't keep extending our hand out to people. I mean, pretty soon they're going to either stop giving $1,000 and give less, or stop giving altogether. We have a lot of things that are broken or limping along, and I think Andrew is doing a great effort. I mean, he wants a development director. I'm so excited about that. It's like I would love to work with someone who is going to bring us more money. I can't. The only way that I could give us a budget on the positive side is to keep cutting people. And then where? We don't have a radio station. I mean, sorry, getting diverted. And then what I was going to say about the web is the next, a couple of weeks from now, we do ask you to please come and talk to Roger. He is more than willing to. The one thing he does want is for us to give him your questions first so he could do some sort of agenda, because when we kind of do it as a free-for-all, it just kind of goes on to hours and hours and hours. Yeah, so anyway, that's it. But go ahead.
Okay. Oh, Andrew's going to speak. Go ahead.
Just a point of information. Firstly, Maria's right. I mean, it's not actually... She does the budgeting. It's not her job, obviously, to ensure that we have a competent website. That's more my job than hers. She does the numbers, and she's done them, and she's been working hard to get this budget together, both her and Barbara. I want to point out just a couple of things. Firstly, I think it's great. I think it would be great if folks from the LSB came and had a presentation from Michael Yoshida and Roger Marquis on the web, so that you can see what we've seen. Now, Henry actually came to one of those, our first web working group, and what Michael showed us was how the KPFA website works. Now, we have at KPFA working, not full-time, but on our website, Michael Yoshida, Dev Ross does work on the website, Antonio does work on the website, Miguel Guerrero does work on the website, and they're all paid by KPFA. And then we have a consultant, Roger, and he's got a person too. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 or 7 people working on one website. I don't think I have to say anything more. And our website looks the way it does. I'm not happy with it. I've made that clear. One of the reasons it looks the way it does is because it's a website designed for two things. One, to serve the producers. Producers go to that website and they use it to... put up their own information about programs and kinds of stuff like that, which is related to NPR contracts. We have something called a confessor program. If you don't put the playlist on the website, it doesn't appear on our web. So that's a technical element. And secondly, it's designed to go to the listeners. It seems to me we need two websites, one for the producers and one for the public. Thirdly, there are other stations in our network that actually pay nothing to have people do their website. They have volunteers. And I'll be happy to pass around links to stations that do this, and you can see for yourself how they look. Thirdly, if you look at Democracy Now!'s website, for instance, it's flashy, it works, it's got a lot of information on it. There are definitely models out there. It shouldn't be very difficult. I think having a sit-down with our web people talking about their problems, seeking some solutions, is a great idea.
Okay. Frank is next.
I had a couple of quick things I wanted to say about this last little round. One is, when you talk about the crafts fair, all this money that is spent on the crafts fair, that even though there was a very small return this year, that is not money that we have to spend on something else, because they raised that money and spent it. So don't make the mistake. I'm not advocating to keep the crafts fair the way it is. People have been talking about shrinking it back to something much smaller than it is now. But you shouldn't be misled into thinking that we've got all this money that we put out on the crafts fair because the crafts fair raised it. I want to say something about Henry's comment about the website. You know, we're just trying to keep it status quo. And I've read your report, and I'm really glad that somebody knows as much and cares as much about it as that. But I've been also listening to Roger, and he came to the first question and answer meeting we had. And I don't know how much contact you've had with him, but I'm impressed with the fact that we would bring up things, and he would say, well, that's... He had good answers for, you know, this could happen. This is happening that way. So I hope that you're one of the people who will prepare some questions ahead of time and come to this meeting so that he can give us some really good education about what they are actually doing, and it ultimately means what we are paying for.
Okay, we've now reached the end of the 75 minutes that we set aside for this. So the chair will entertain a motion to extend this item if someone wants to move.
No,
15 minutes, is that okay?
Second.
All those in favor, raise your hands. Opposed? Thank you all very much. Okay, so next is Frank.
Hello. You want to say something? Should I wait for you, or are you good?
No, I'm just trying to get on the stack.
Oh, okay. So just like couple brief comments and then a question. One is the 3G versus the 4G for the Comrex. I mentioned at the beginning when we had announcements that tomorrow we'll be doing the Geronimo Pratt thing, and we'll be using the Comrex with the 3G, and what will happen is there'll be like some dropouts and the quality might not be so good. So I think that the upgrade to the 4G would be a wise choice for the Comrex thing. And then another thing, I'm happy to hear that there is an increase for the apprenticeship program. One thing that we did mention to Andrew in the past was, I don't want to go through a big old thing, how the apprenticeship program runs, but we did have two full-time paid positions, which we used to split up between five people. When the cutback started happening at KPFA, we were the first to feel it, and we've been dropped down to a one half-time person, which means my position was completely eliminated. I'm now volunteering about 25 hours a week just for the apprenticeship program. Our goal would be to maybe get reinstated like one full-time position, and we would split that between three people. So I'm hoping that that will happen in the future. I don't know how the budget works for that. So that would just be a hope for the apprenticeship program to at least have one full-time position, which we would split between three people. We've taken a new group of apprentices in. Over the last year and a half, 2 years, the apprenticeship program has been slipping, and just the quality of our efforts to help the people that are coming in to learn, we don't have as much time with them. I personally have been spending 10 more hours a week at the station, but I've been cut back 6 hours from helping the apprentices because I'm stuck in the board op room. So I don't want to go on and on about that. So, but I'm hoping in the future we could at least get one full-time paid position for the apprenticeship program. Also, just to wrap up, what I'd want to know about we talked about the budget, is that lawsuit that may get dropped or may not get dropped. What is that? I don't understand what lawsuit that is. Maybe you could make that clear that there's still a lawsuit floating around that we're hoping will get dropped. Can you state what that is?
I don't think she can in public session. I don't know.
Oh, is it illegal?
What?
Can we just mention like what is the lawsuit, or can we not even talk about that?
Can we have some clarification? Because I thought Andrew said all lawsuits are gone.
No.
So, no, that's the labor lawsuits are gone.
Oh, okay.
This is a different lawsuit.
And so can we not mention, is it who versus who?
I don't know what the rules are.
That's what
it is related to the budget because of legal expense.
Okay, good. It's the Nodra Foster suit against KPFA.
Okay, so we're still waiting for that to dissolve or to carry on. Okay.
It's a federal case, apparently, and what was explained to me by the attorney is that, and the attorney's here, please correct me if I'm wrong, it's almost kind of like an arraignment coming up in September or so, and that's where the judge will say, you have a case, you can proceed or should proceed, or you have no case and we're done.
Okay. Just curious what the case was.
Okay. All right. I have on the list Dan and Sasha. I'm not going to call on people for a second time until everyone who hasn't spoken yet has an opportunity. Dan, Sasha, and then Anthony, and I have a question, so I'm going to call on myself after those three people. Dan.
Okay, so
Use a microphone.
Sorry.
Here you go.
So, I think that the budget and the detail presented by Maria and Barbara is excellent in terms of giving us a handle on what it is and where it is. I think, though, as a LSB, we have to now kind of put on our policy hats, so to speak, and think about the input that we could give to the budget, because it's one of the ways in which we have the greatest influence as a board, or one of the ways in which we should have greatest influence as a board in setting out the direction of the station over the next period of time. And, you know, I've been looking at the numbers, and, you know, one of the numbers that I think is most important is really line five going across on listener support, which shows how steady our level of listener support has been going back since fiscal year 2009, 4 years. It's, you know, just about amazing. $2.6 million every year. And to me, the implications of that is that without doing something that really focuses on increasing listener support, we're going to fail, right? Because those dollars don't match increasing expenses, right? Because everything's going up, whether it's salaries or health care or telephone or utilities of every kind. So our income is flat, which we know, and our expenses are going up. And so as a policy matter, I think we really need to think very hard, you know, and work with Andrew and other staff to think about where we can invest. I know that's a horrible word among non-capitalists and anti-capitalists, but invest our resources in a way that's going to grow our listenership, right? And so, you know, I agree with Henry and Jack and others about the idea of development. I agree with Andrew about the web business. You know, there's a history of talking about the web and podcasts and so on. Going back to about 5 years ago, there were several people on the national board whose main focus was electronic media. And unfortunately, they're not on the national board anymore, and those efforts haven't been picked up by anyone. And I think, you know, all of us, I mean, we all spend more time online than we ever did, I'm sure, right? There was no online a few years ago. And we really are behind the curve. People have talked about Democracy Now!'s website. I'm involved with one called TruthDig. There are many others out there that people look at more and more. So I think in terms of financial decisions that we make, we should give staff support and direction around development and alternative media. And those are the two areas. Other stuff, you know, we really shouldn't get too hung up on the $10,000, $30,000, even $50,000 items. We have to think about moving our budget ahead in increments of 10%. 10%, 20% like that over the next few years.
Okay, Sasha.
Yeah, just sort of following up on those thoughts, I think we do, you know, an awful lot of talk about concepts, and they sort of stay out there as a lot of talk. You know, even looking at the crafts fair, to me, the question of the crafts fair, I mean, is first of all, if the crafts fair goes away, we don't have an extra 100,000 or whatever the figure is, as was just pointed out. But also, how much do we get out of that in terms of marketing and reputation? And what will the community think if KPFA's crafts fair suddenly goes away? It has been an institution for decades. You know, they're tied in with perhaps other things happening at the station. It might even project to the general public of people who, you know, do know about us, that we're in trouble, that we're going away. I mean, you know, if a major institution like our annual crafts fair disappears, it would, if I were on the outside, I would have funny thoughts about that, you know, in terms of what does it mean, as I'm also looking at a lot of significant programming changes that are also, you know, sort of changing what the station is. So I don't think it's that simple a question. I have a question for you, Andrew, though, not for, you know, Maria as a business manager, but kind of looking. So we have several people who are working on the internet, on our internet presence one way or another, on staff, plus a roughly $100,000 a year, $108,000 a year consultant. Do we have a rough figures? How much are we spending on all of this? Because to have a really dreadful website. You know, and I understand that Roger is going to make a presentation to us, and I was there for his presentation this week, and I was very impressed that he used to work for the station. He knew a lot about the station. He threw in, you know, although it's not his area, several, you know, what I thought were interesting marketing ideas for how to get word across, and I think you get that with somebody who has familiarity with the station rather than somebody who you don't know. On the other hand, I'm a little uncomfortable with our having to come up with questions. I would really prefer to have somebody say, this is how much I will cost you to tinker with your website and your internet problems and your phone system problems and keep you going and functioning. And this is a projected estimate of what it would cost to get you up to speed and up to date with a presence that really you know, works in the modern world. Is it possible for us to get that from Roger?
That would be, if you want to do those questions, he'll present it to us in the third week of August. So I don't know how, Barbara's probably going to head that up, but please, that's a great question. And, you know, but let's put it to the expert who knows.
But I'd actually like to hear the station manager's response, yeah.
With all due respect to experts. Yeah, the names I mentioned, they don't all work 100% on the website, but we do have a number of people at the station connected in one way or another to our website and our internet connectivity. At our multimedia platform task force, a highfalutin name I know, meeting the other day, if we go ahead with this, I doubt we'll use the KPFA website. I think they will create their own website to get out of that situation so that we can have it delegated specific to the task at hand, which is web streaming internationally and do it as a standalone project. I also point to, as an allied comment, the Pacifica generally, the Pacifica website is not a good-looking website either. Our web presence generally is pretty dull, pretty abysmal, I would say, and does not reflect a 21st-century organisation. So I'm trying to get something started. I urge you to come and attend the workshop that I think Roger's giving. Ask him the questions, make the suggestions, and get behind this because we absolutely do need to make a change.
Okay, thank you. Are we ready to move on? The next speaker is Anthony.
Yeah. Numbers question. On the bottom of the second page of the large, you know, the multi-page handout, where it says Heath bequest. What I'm wondering is, do those amounts take care of the network's back debt to Democracy Now in its entirety? No, there's still more that the network owes.
That is purely for three. This is the second of 3 years, and you all know that National Office used their Heath bequest, the $375, you know, back when. But and I don't know the specifics of it, but that money was not to be used just at will, whenever. And now National Office, to comply with the bequest, it has to replenish that money. And the stations are replenishing the National Office's debt to the Heath bequest.
But on top of this, the stations still owe more to Democracy Now. The network still owes more to Democracy Now.
The network owes.
Yes, it does.
How much is that now, approximately?
The last I heard, it was about 600,000 still, okay. That figured.
Okay. So here's my question. Looking at the simple sheet, this one, I deal with simple. Okay. Barbara had us change on the first page at the bottom of column AB the net income to 36,508 because there was apparently a mathematical error of $11,000 approximately. On the second sheet, column AB in the middle of the page, line 56, the surplus was then changed it's a deficit of $38,992. Okay, so it's on the second page of the long sheet, midway down, line 56 under column AB. And this budget is predicated on KPFA paying 19.5% to the National Office, which we've been informed is approximately $30,000. If we were to change the 19.5% to 18.5%, I take it then that our deficit would be approximately $9,000. Is that correct? Okay, thank you. Yes. Hold on. Yeah?
Only this one?
We need a microphone down here. There's somebody who wants to speak. Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry, gang. We're also at time now.
Is it in order to make a motion?
Well, I think we need to. Yes, I think we're up to the point to make motions. I do think we should extend the time on this discussion in order to do that. Does someone want to make a proposal? Okay. There's been a proposal that we extend the time for 10 minutes. Are there any objections? Maybe a little more than that, somebody said. How about 15?
We could always do that if we need more.
15 minutes. Are you willing? Okay, 2:30. Okay, go ahead, Matthew.
Well, it just seems after listening to this and hearing the reasons for it that I think that the LSB should recommend that we, in fact, change the amount paid to the central services from 19.5 to 18.5. It seems that it's a just, recommendation because there should be some compensation for the rent, and it's something we need, and everybody should sacrifice, not just us.
Okay, are you making that as a motion?
Yes.
Is there a second? Okay, so the motion is now up for discussion. No. is there any discussion on the motion? Tracy.
Well, right now we're discussing a motion. If you have a motion on the budget, then you can make it. After we...
Okay,
we're
going to...
But there's a motion
on the floor.
Let's deal with the motion on the floor.
All right.
And then we'll...
If you pass the motion, I'll bring it to the NFC at the next meeting, which will be at the end of July. My guesstimate would be, since it was defeated rather handily last year, it will be defeated rather handily this year. But I guess that's good information for the LSB going forward when you deal with the budget.
All right. So what I understood you to say is that You will be willing to present it to the NFC as a motion from the LSB, and it was rejected in the past, and it might be rejected in the future. Is that the idea? Okay. Is there any further discussion on this motion?
Why was it rejected? Why was it rejected so resoundingly in the past?
I think the only individuals that voted for it were the KPFA reps. I voted for it. The reason it was rejected, as I recall, were the fact that the space isn't really rentable without substantial capital improvement, so there is, in fact, no net savings for anybody, and that the other stations didn't feel like they were able to up their own central services an extra 0.25% to cover the difference.
Okay. Is there any further discussion on the motion? All right, we're ready to come to a vote. Can I ask for a show of hands? Okay, the motion is that we go forward with whatever budget we have adopt, that it includes the idea that we reduce our central services fee from 19.5% to 18.5%. We haven't yet adopted a budget, but that's one of the preliminary things we'll put into the budget.
I think what Matthew said was that you wanted to recommend to the NFC that it give you a 1% discount on central services, which is a different thing.
Okay. So we're going to come to a vote. Let's see if we can do this with a show of hands. All those in favor, raise your hands.
I'm sorry, what are we in favor of?
reducing our
by 1%.
I'm sorry, I'd actually like a roll call vote on that one.
Okay. All right. Can the secretary count? Hold your hands up high.
Call. No, she called for roll call.
Oh, did Tracy just call for
Tracy
a roll call?
Called for roll call?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand you. Okay, roll call. Heads up, heads up. Secretary's calling the roll. A yes vote is to recommend that we go forward with KPFA paying 18.5% in central services fees instead of 19.5%, okay? That we that our budget include and that we tell the NFC that that's what we want.
No taxation without it.
Okay, Augemeyer? Augemeyer, yes. Bernstein? Bernstein is not here. Drake? Drake is yes. Fest?
I will pass.
Fest will pass. Futron?
Yes.
Futron is yes. Gans?
Yes.
Gans is yes. Goldmacher? I'm sorry? Yes. Goldmacher is yes. Hallinan Kahn?
Yes.
Kahn Hallinan is yes. Matthew Hallinan? Matthew Hallinan is yes. Johnson?
Yes.
Johnson is yes. Kim is not here. Kurzweil?
Yes.
Kurzweil is yes. Knorr?
Yes.
Knorr is yes. Pritchett? Abstain. Pritchett abstains. Privis not here. Rosenberg?
Okay.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Rosenberg is yes. Russell is not here. Sawyer?
Yes.
Sawyer is yes. Siegel?
Yes.
Siegel is yes. Sterling?
Abstain.
Sterling abstains. Akio Tanaka?
Yes.
Abstain. Kate Tanaka? Kate Tanaka abstains. Turner?
Yes.
Turner's yes. Okay. Wilkinson? Wilkinson, yes. Withers?
Yes.
Withers, yes. That's 16, yes.
Okay, very good. Thank you all very much. Okay, so now we are continuing to discuss the budget, and we have 10 minutes left. Tracy and then Andrea.
Getting back to the issue of the difference between a contractor and a consultant, which was put out, if we're expecting our development contractor consultant person to up our major donations from $175,000 to $256,000 in our budget, then that person is obviously working. They're not just providing us with brilliant ideas. They are, in fact, contracting to do work, contact major donors, and solicit donations. Therefore, the sort of the concept that contractors and consultants belong in different categories in the budget is, I think, problematic. And I think that transparency about consultants' fees is one of the things that bedevils nonprofit organizations on a regular basis. It has certainly bedeviled this not-for-profit organization. And that if we are, in fact, planning to pay non-employee compensation of any sort, that we need to put it in a category called consultants, contractors, and not hide it as computer repair and website expenses. I think that is not in general proper accounting, and I would hope that we would not do that. I want to kind of verify on the Heath, because my impression was this was the third year, that the first year was 2010, the second year was 2011, and this budgetary year, 2012, would be the third year at which point the repayment of the foundation asset would be completed. Could somebody double check that this is the second year thing doesn't make sense to me.
Double check what?
Well, the first year I believe was 2010, the second was 2011, and the third would be the FY 2012 year. So could you verify?
Related to the Heath Foundation, is this the third year paying back?
I believe it is.
I thought it was the second year.
I think it's the third, because the first would have been 2010. The
yeah.
second would have been 2011. The third would have been 2012. Okay, so it is the third year. Thanks okay. for that. Is there anything else? God, I can't remember. No, I guess not.
Okay, Maria.
In terms of consultant or contractor, it's tomato, tomato. I mean, it's an expense line item. We're not bearing the contractor website expense. I mean, well, again, he'll have to explain to you where his time goes. And in terms of the development director consultant, it probably shouldn't go in there either because, no, they won't be just consulting. They'll actually be working. They'll actually be, you know, bringing us in money. So, you know, the consultant is kind of a placeholder of sorts, and until we figure out, it's just an accounting issue. It still stays in an expense line item. So regardless, it's not changing the bottom line.
Okay. Andrea, pass her a microphone. That's okay. You ready, Andrea?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I have a motion with two parts.
Okay.
The first part is that we should budget for a full-time development director, period. Part two of the motion is that we perform a cost-benefit analysis of the KPFA Crafts Fair and examine whether or not that event should take place this year. And I can motivate these motions when offered the opportunity.
Okay. Hold on a second. I think they're two separate motions. Yeah. So will you make them? It's not good. It's not good to mix that up. So make your first motion. And let's see if we have a second.
That we should have a full-time development director.
Okay. It's seconded. All right. And now we can have some discussion, although I hope you all will be very brief. Go right ahead.
With respect to Andrew's position that it's very difficult to find the money, et cetera, but also out of respect for this LSB, we voted, and that was one of the only things I remember last year that was unanimous on this board, was our desire to see a full-time development director. And understanding that we've got to fight and push and claw this year to try to make ends meet, but if we look to the future, we've got to plant those seeds now, using a permaculture metaphor. But also, I think that it actually takes a team. I think that having one full-time, the fact that you're involved in development is hugely positive, and that we're trying to assemble some other people to help with that. But having somebody who is fundamentally responsible for that, and I know it costs a lot of money, but I think that investment will pay, and I think that if we, the LSB, really, really decide to fall behind that person, if there's somebody who's developing relationships within the station, with this board, and so forth, and I'm just afraid that doing it catch-as-catch-can will not afford us the opportunity to hold them accountable also for what is done or what is not done. You know, a lot of effort comes to nothing, and it just doesn't get any traction, so I feel like we need to do that.
I want to ask if there's anyone who wants to speak against this motion. This is the motion to hire a full-time development director. Okay. If no one wants to speak against it. Okay. If nobody wants to speak against it, let's have a vote. All those in favor, please raise your hands.
Point of information.
Oh, I'm sorry. You want to speak against it?
No, I just want to. I have a question. Point of information? Is that possible?
Oh, point of information. Yeah. Okay.
What are some figures that we can throw out there for development director? Before we vote on this thing, I'd like to know how much you're thinking.
$80,000, she said.
Is that
okay.
Salary alone or salary and benefits?
That is something that would have to be figured out and planned. You're voting for a position where there hasn't been sufficient process to set the salary.
I understand.
It's okay.
Hold on.
That's what
I'm talking now. Nobody else should be talking. I understand Andrea's motion to be that the position of the LSB is that KPFA should hire a full-time development director. Though the details of that clearly have to be figured out, how much, all of that. But I think what we're doing is this is like a sense of the body, and it is totally appropriate that this discussion take place in the context of the budget. You know, it's going to increase our deficit, but in the long run, hopefully, it will increase our surplus. Okay. Is there any further discussion on this?
Another point of information?
Yes.
What are we supposed to be doing with this budget today? Giving it an approval? Does it get back to the drawing
boards?
When is it due to the PNB, et cetera, et cetera?
Let's take that app. Sasha, I will call on you as soon as this vote is over, and you can ask that question, okay? Are we ready to vote?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, please. Go ahead. Make a comment.
Yeah. I want to make a recommendation. And that is, I think the point that Dan brought up earlier, that our contributions from our membership has stayed the same. I think one of the problems we have not really faced up to is that our base has not grown. And I think the idea that we're going to raise a lot more money just by hiring a development director is not an accurate idea of what we need to solve our problems. So with the hiring of a development director, I would like to see the LSB recommend that the management of the station review the programming of the station to see whether it meets the requirements of this time with this huge assault on the standard of living of the American people, of the dismantling of our entire safety net and social contract, and think about making this station more a voice that is relevant to people who are not listening to our station right now.
Okay. I think that's a completely separate motion. I would ask Matthew to hang on to it, and we'll come back to it. All right. All those in favor of the motion that Andrea Pritchett made, please raise your hands. Can you count, or do you want to? Okay. Is there any opposition? Okay. Good enough. Okay. Andrea had a second motion. Give her the microphone.
My motion is that, for example, the money for a development director is like the crafts fair, is an investment. You hope to spend money in order to make money. My fear about the crafts fair is that when I look at the last 3 years, it looks like revenue has been decreasing each year. And so if current trends continue, it looks very possible that the crafts fair might not even break even. So my hope is that of course it's a risk. There's no such thing as a sure thing. But my hope is that by investing $80,000 approximately into the position of a development director, that would yield through grants, through working to develop the base, the listener base, if we are extending the signal into Santa Cruz, we're considering, say, Sacramento and so forth, my hope is that a development director would be working on publicity campaigns and so forth to make sure that people are aware of that, of the station and that signal, and in this way help to grow the signal. So the development director could be that anchor, that coordinator, and the one who holds us accountable for the work that we do or do not do in support of those development projects. So my motion is to evaluate the crafts fair, and if it cannot, if that sucker is not bringing in $50,000, you know, if we're talking 10, you know, if the budget, I mean, I'm sure I could do and I don't recommend that be done by the crafts fair coordinator. I think that's not wise.
Wait a minute. Okay.
So I'm asking,
what's your motion?
So my motion is that an analysis be done of the crafts fair and a viability report be brought back here to establish whether or not we should go forward with
okay.
it.
Okay. And who would you direct that to? To the general manager?
I guess I would direct it. I would leave it to the general manager to decide who should conduct that or how that should move forward.
That's okay. All right. So let me just make clear. Andrea's motion does not change the budget before you on the question of the crafts fair, but it gives us an opportunity to evaluate the crafts fair and make a decision further down the line. Okay, is that right, Andrea? If I could correct it. Okay. Okay, we're over time. Okay. There's clearly some discussion on this, so I will call on Sasha, Jack, and Dave. Oh, and Pam. Oh, good. And Sharam. Sasha.
Yes, so I'm not really sure. I mean, when Andrea, when you first mentioned it, you said in terms of whether we should have a crass fair this year. I notice you're not saying it now. But I just wanted to point out that I'm sure the space is reserved for the class fair this year. The consultant's contract is signed. I think they're probably working on it already. So I don't think we could do anything about it this year. To me also, it's the kind of detail that were of oversight on the IGM's time. I would not want this to be something that the person who's running our station with all the problems we have would be directed to have as a priority item for evaluation sort of immediately. I think we have all kinds of other things, and I think I would allow that person to decide what has a priority on their time. Whether, I mean, the crafts fair is not costing us money. It is bringing us in a slight bit of money. It is run by somebody is hired specifically to do the job. It is probably helping our reputation, not hindering it, taking it away. We'd have to evaluate what that might have to do in terms of our... I just don't see doing away with the crafts fair right now, given our problems, as a priority.
Here, here.
Jack.
I would certainly vote for a motion that asked for simply an evaluation of the crafts fair. I would certainly vote for that because, as has been pointed out, the net revenue from the crafts fair has been declining, and it's worth reviewing. However, I cannot vote for this motion. And the reason that I can't vote for this motion is because it seems to me that there are a number of fallacious underpinnings to the motion. So, for example, one thing. The crafts fair, up until this point, is not a drain on the station. It simply is not. The station expends no money from its regular budget onto the crafts fair. The crafts fair raises money for its own expenses. And then some. Our concern is that it's not raising as much money for the station as it has before, but eliminating the crafts fair does not save the station a penny so long as the return to the station is more than $1.25. All right. The second thing, and the reason for the $1.25 figure is postage. The second thing is that, in my view, there ought to be a commitment to maintaining the crafts fair and maintaining it as part of the constellation of KPFA activities because it's a positive presence in the community and gives us the kind, you know, it's part of the kind of reach that the station needs. So I find that sentiment lacking, absent in the motion, because implicit in the motion, the way it's stated and the way that it's justified, is that it's a way of looking towards eliminating the crafts fair, not evaluating it. That's the way that the motion was presented and defended. So again, although I could vote for a motion that asked for an evaluation of the crafts fair, I cannot vote for this motion because this motion goes well beyond an evaluation and looks to an elimination.
All right, I speak in agreement with most of what Jack said, although somewhat concerned with his tone. I think the KPFA Crafts Fair is an important institution, and a great number of people rely on it for their income at the holidays, the people who present there and sell their stuff there, and it would cause a great disruption to their lives. It's a community institution. It's part of the identity of KPFA, and it doesn't cost KPFA any money, and I don't see any real value in eliminating it, so I would vote against the motion.
Okay. Sharam, I've got three more people on the speaker's list, and then I'm hoping we're going to end it. Sharam, Anthony, and then Andrea to respond, and then I hope we're going to vote. Okay, Sharam.
Well, I mean, I didn't expect this motion to come up today, but I've been thinking about this issue of crafts fair. I mean, I did think about it last couple of years. There are things that come to my mind. For instance, I mean, I agree that, you know, it's important to keep that connection to the communities that we are serving. So Crafts Fair serves that purpose. That said, I mean, we need to be a little bit, what's the word I'm looking for? Nothing should be around us, nothing around us should be sacrilegious when it comes to budget. I mean, in other words, there are things that we have been doing for years. Does that mean we just have to keep on doing them for the next few years? Till we come to the point, as Dan mentioned, there is hardly any increase in listenership or connection to the communities and so forth and so on. So I haven't decided how I'm going to vote on this motion, but I just want to... But for us to bear in mind that there are things about when we say things, you know, the way they should stay the way they are, it's problematic. I think that's what has been the problem with inertia at the station. You know, things are staying at the way they are. And if you expand that argument of, it is covering its cost, you can essentially argue that about a lot of other things, including some of the programs on air, right? The question becomes, can you put another program there that actually recovers more than the cost? So in other words, it's the question of opportunity cost. The question is not to sever your links to the communities you're serving, but perhaps we can think out of the box, think of other, maybe there are other annual events we can do other than the Crafts Fair that could be serving the same purpose, and perhaps they would be bringing us more money. One last point I want to say is this. If you do such an analysis, one needs to look at, would you like to get the mic? One final point. I mean, somebody really needs to, like a manager, look at this thing. Do you actually need somebody on 20 hours? I'm sorry to say that. She's one of my colleagues. Do you actually need... And this is a practical question. Do we need somebody on a half-time position for the entire year to organize a crafts fair? Or can you hire somebody for 3 months to do that kind of work? Because, I'm sorry. I mean, it's a practical question. I'm trying to... Well, okay. I mean,
I'm going to ask people to be quiet and respectful.
Again, it goes back to the question that you don't take things as they are. You need to start questioning things, okay? Isn't that sort of our mantra on KPFA? That you look at things, you don't take them as they are? So I think we need to do that with the numbers too. I mean, just because they have been doing this for the last 20 years doesn't mean that's the best way to go. Thanks.
Okay, I'm going to call on Anthony, but I really want to ask people to be... Oh, I'm sorry. I misunderstood what you said. Okay.
Ask for the mic, please.
Okay. I'm going to call on people. I'd like to conclude this discussion as quickly as possible and come to a vote, but I want people to be quiet and respectful when people are speaking. Anthony.
Okay, I'll be real brief because I've got another question later, but I concur with Sasha that it's probably too late to do anything this year because the process is probably already underway. However, Sharam also is correct that we can't just let all our activities continue on automatic pilot. There are options besides crafts fair and no crafts fair. Maybe what needs to be looked at is, can we find a cheaper space next year? Can there be other ways of hopefully raising the income and lowering the expenses? So this is a more nuanced discussion than kill the crafts fair. So in that spirit, I support the resolution.
Okay, I agreed with most of what Sasha and Jack and other people say. I won't repeat it. I wish we wouldn't repeat everything we say. My point is just there's a lot of other organizations that are part of the crafts fair that really put out a good message that KPFA is also trying to put out at work with us. And the second is we shouldn't look at things that are happening now as if that's the entire history and that's the way it's going to go forward. That's living once again as if everything is, we're doing the austerity budget thing again. Because the crafts fair didn't do well during a couple years of deep recession doesn't mean that that's the future of the crafts fair. So I don't want us to put on blinders and not see what's going on around us. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, please don't misunderstand me. I've been to the crafts fair. I've had a wonderful time. Thank you. I do like art. I've enjoyed it. But I do think, and sometimes we do activities for outreach purposes. And sometimes, and that's positive. I think it's important to know why we do something. My understanding is that the crafts fair was meant to be a fundraiser. And my concern is that looking at past trends that the economy I don't see is set to do any better by December than it did last December. And so my fear is that we may very well lose money. What I would like and what I have wanted, I think I've brought it up at other meetings, is I would like to hear from those people who are doing special events to have some kind of communication with the LSB about those events and whether they are viable. And I'm not sure, is the person who is the crafts fair coordinator, do they get benefits? Do they have, yeah. So it actually bumps up the total cost. So I think there's other ways. I think that the GM has to put some attention into that crafts fair. I don't think that he's going to be able to just say, all right, coordinator, goodbye and good luck. So there are costs. I think it taxes a lot of people in the station. That's not numbered out here, but I think it does overall. So go ahead, Maria.
Microphone, please. Margie.
Here is a part of the, sorry. The income received from the crafts fair is the total net, salaries, everything included. So,
you mean the expenses?
The expenses, the net income, so you get the revenue and the expenses. That includes the coordinator's salary, benefits, everything, all inclusive.
That's expenses?
We come out ahead.
The salary is not separate. It's included in the total here.
It's okay. It's included in the, yes, you mean, she means expenses. That is.
So all I'm asking for at this point, I'm not saying, it's a cost-benefit analysis. I'm not saying that we should discontinue it. I think logic would dictate that if it's losing money, that we would.
It's not.
Okay, David, please. David. Okay.
Mr. Gans, maybe you misunderstood me. My proposal, I'll speak slowly and as clearly as I can. My proposal is to do an evaluation. That is not uncommon in the world of nonprofits or corporations. Evaluations is common sense. Let the numbers speak for themselves, and then you make a logical decision based on the evaluation. Don't be frightened of an evaluation. I know that you may have loyalties to the people involved in it or to it. It's the institution itself.
You may have grown accustomed to that.
No.
But I do not think that the fact that I ask for an evaluation warrants your yelling at me.
Okay. I am going to ask people
not to speak any further. Please do me this favor. Let the secretary read the motion as it was made, and then let people vote on it. We do not need further discussion. I apologize. You know, I know that you were spoken to personally, and that's an odd hominin remark, and you should have a chance to have a response, but I'm asking you to forbear. Okay? Let's go. Okay. Secretary, please read. Okay. You read it.
The GM shall oversee an evaluation of the crafts fair and make a recommendation to the board about the viability of the crafts fair.
Oh, that's a completely different motion than the one you
made.
No,
it's not.
Yes, it is. Read what she wrote, said before, Craig.
Microphone. I'm sorry. Is that why everybody misunderstood? Is that why people are freaking out?
Okay, this was my understanding of what you made, the motion you made before, that an analysis will be done of the crafts fair and brought back, the analysis brought back to the LSB for decision on whether or not to go forward in the future, and that the interim general manager will decide who will do this analysis.
Correct.
Okay.
That's what you said.
Yeah, I don't
That's
get
what you said.
I don't get how what I just said is so substantively different than what you said. Why are people freaking out?
I feel
and,
like it's
and
a different is
Madam
Craig,
Chair, wouldn't the motion that I make be the one that takes precedence over the interpretation that
No.
No, those were your words.
Those were your words, Andrea. That's the problem. I'm
time?
Sorry. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm going to ask in the future that when people make motions from their seat, that they write them down and hand them to the secretary so that this won't happen. I think that's a perfectly reasonable way to do things. I feel like what you just read was different than what it asks for a GM recommendation, which wasn't in your original motion. I would have a very different response to the motion if I knew that the GM was going to make a recommendation. I asked you who should do the review. And we
the GM should do
the review. I think that's fine.
No, that he should oversee that it be done. I didn't say that he had to do it.
That he was responsible for
so
making.
My word is oversee.
Who's he going to ask to do it? The news director? I mean, we don't have a development director.
Okay. The point is that your original motion didn't ask for a recommendation from him, and I would feel differently about the motion if that were in there. I want to ask that you accept the secretary's words, which was my understanding.
Let me hear it again. Let me type it out as he says it.
Okay.
Okay. This is what I have. That an analysis be done of the crafts fair and brought back to the LSB for a decision on whether or not to go forward. Semicolon. That the interim general manager will decide who will do the analysis. Period.
Okay, are we ready to come to a vote on the motion? Is the maker of the motion satisfied with the language?
Right back to the LSB for a decision about whether or not to go forward. What is not specified in this motion is whether it's talking about this year or next. I don't think that it has to be this year's crafts fair.
Point of procedure.
We agree. Okay.
Point of procedure.
Jack.
I find this to be personally very disturbing. A motion is made, and the motion is made embodied in an extended defense of the motion so that it's not clear what the difference is between the motion and its defense. The secretary, to the best of his ability, writes down the motion, and somehow or other, the maker of the motion then begins a negotiation with the secretary about what the motion that was made actually said, and the attempted rewording of the motion is then embodied in another discourse and defense of the motion, whatever it was, This is impossible. You cannot change your motion as the discussion goes on. You simply...
Point of order, what are we talking about here? Where are we on the agenda?
I'm sorry, I'm being interrupted by you.
Okay.
And you
Jack.
Complain
Jack.
About being interrupted.
Point of information.
I want the chair
as
to
you
call
said,
for
point
a
of
vote
information.
On the motion as the secretary made it, and not as you have decided okay. to change it with stream of goddamn consciousness.
Jack, I asked her if she accepted the motion as read by the secretary. She indicated that it did. She added a proviso about how it can't affect this year. It might not affect this year. Hold on,
was
hold on, hold
clarification,
on. Let me finish.
Mr. Bernstein?
Mine is the only voice that you should hear right now. There should be, I am the chair of this meeting. No one else should be speaking. Hold your horses. I'm going to ask that everybody take a deep breath and that we be allowed to come to a vote on this motion without any further discussion. I am requesting that at this point. If someone wants to talk about how people conduct themselves in this meeting, we can put that on the agenda. We can have an itemized discussion about that. But right now, I am asking that we come to a vote on a motion which has been thoroughly discussed. All right. I'm going to ask for Lewis moved the question. Is there a second?
Seconded.
All right. I'm going to call for a vote on it. All those in favor of closing debate.
Talk about the motion. That's not
well, sure. We can have amendments to the motion, but we're having a vote on. Pardon me, we're having a vote on closing debate right now because the motion was made and seconded.
Okay, there's opposition to closing debate. Shram wants to amend it. I would like to say something, so we're opposing it. Since you won't get 2/3, let's continue and try to get to resolution.
I agree.
Okay.
Very quickly,
Lewis, can I withdraw? Will you withdraw your motion to close debate? Thank you. All right. Sharam has an amendment. Go ahead, Sharam.
What I think is, yeah, I'll give him the mic in just a sec.
Wait a minute. I didn't call on you. I called on Sharam. I'm sorry. I'm chairing this meeting. I called on Sharam.
I haven't had a chance to talk about the motion yet.
Just a minor amendment to make sure that it's clear. As people mentioned, this is too late for this year anyhow to make any decisions with respect to the budget. So this is going to be... the recommendations will be applicable to next year's budget cycle.
Okay. So your amendment is that that whatever recommendation is made about the Crafts Fair that will be applicable to Crafts Fair 2012, not 2011.
Why is this motion even allowed since it doesn't even apply to the budget that's under discussion?
Good question. Okay. Can we?
It's negative. You can't pass
it. Is there any objection to the amendment? Does anyone object to the amendment? Okay. The amendment is that the motion does not apply to the Crafts Fair of 2011, but might influence the future of the Crafts Fair, starting with 2012. Is there any objection? Henry?
I think it should apply to the 2011. If the thing doesn't make sense, it doesn't make
it's
sense starting now.
Well, I think several people have already pointed out that it's too late for this year, that contracts have been signed. It would cost us money to get out of them. You know, it's like, please. Okay. All right. Can we vote on this on the main motion as amendment? The main motion as amended is...
Okay. That an analysis be done of the Crafts Fair and brought back to the LSB for a decision on whether or not to go forward, that the interim general manager will decide who will do the analysis, and that whatever recommendation is made applies to Crafts Fair's beginning 2012.
Everybody happy with that? Okay, an amendment. Go ahead.
Okay, I would like to make an amendment that any decision that the LSB would arrive at about the Crafts Fair would be made in consultation with the people who put on the Crafts Fair.
Okay. There's been a second amendment to the motion that requires that any decision that we make be made in consultation with the people who put on the Crafts Fair. Is there any discussion on that amendment?
Can we define the people who put on the crafts fair a little more specifically? Are we talking about the staff member who is employed to coordinate it?
Yes. I believe we're talking about Jan Etrie and whoever works with her, right? Yeah.
Okay, so we're to consult with Jan Etrie.
Yes. Okay. Any objection to this amendment? All right. Now we're ready to vote on the main motion as amended. Oh, you all know what it says, okay? I'm not going to do that again. I'm going to ask for a roll call vote on this motion. Oh, it's easier, faster.
Are you voting on amendments or are you voting on the main motion?
Main motion is amended.
There were no objections to either of the amendments, so we're voting on the motion as amended.
Okay. Vote on it as amended. If the amended motion fails, you go back to the previous.
Okay, so this is, I'll read it again as amended, so we're all clear, okay? So an analysis be done of the crafts fair and brought back to the LSB for decision on whether or not to go forward, semicolon, that the interim general manager will decide who will do the analysis, that whatever recommendation is made applies to crafts fairs beginning 2012, and that any decision the LSB makes will be made in consultation with people, with those who put on the crafts fair. I mean, is that accurate? Okay. So this is a roll call vote. Agamir?
Yes.
Agamir, yes. Drake?
No.
I'm sorry?
No.
Drake, no. Fest?
Yes.
Fest, yes. Futron?
She's
not here. Okay. Gans?
No.
Gans, no. Goldmacher?
No.
Goldmacher, no. Con Hallinan?
No.
Con Hallinan, no. Matthew Hallinan?
Abstaining?
Okay. Matthew Hallinan abstains. Johnson?
Yes.
Johnson, yes. Kim not here. Kurzweil?
No.
Kurzweil, no. Nor?
Yes.
Nor, yes. Pritchett?
Yes.
Pritchett, yes. Privis not here. Rosenberg?
Yes.
Rosenberg, yes. Russell not here. Sawyer? Sawyer, no. Siegel?
Yes.
Siegel, yes. Sterling?
Yes.
Sterling, yes. Aki Tanaka? Aki Tanaka, yes. Kate Tanaka?
Yes.
Kate Tanaka, yes. Andrea Turner, not here. Wilkinson?
Yes.
Wilkinson, yes. Withers? Withers abstain. Okay, so that is 11 yes, 6 no, 2 abstentions.
Okay, now, getting back to the question that Sasha asked, we are supposed to be discussing the budget. Are there any further motions on the budget?
I don't have a motion, but I do have a question.
And okay,
apologies.
Go ahead, Anthony.
Even though one attends both the budget sessions, there's yet more information to ask about. Page. The third page in of the fourth page in of the large package. Under about two-thirds of the way down, under programming, lines 23 and 24. What are those, please? Board meetings, $90, and FD extra hours.
Are we on the long page?
The payroll page.
Page one of the payroll page. Well, go down four, one, two, three, four. At the bottom of the page, it says payroll. And, yes, and he's asking about numbers 23 and 24. 23 are
Berkeley, and I'm sorry, I put board meetings. Obviously, it's not these kind of board meetings. They're the city board meetings, city council meetings, city rent board meetings, that kind of thing. And we get reimbursed from that, from the city for that.
And the rate is $90 per meeting?
Yes, per meeting. And those meetings can last anywhere, I guess, from two. Well, I don't have to tell you guys. I'm sure you've been there, but yeah. And then on the fund drive, extra hours. Many programmers work extra hours, and I don't build that into each individual person because number one, I don't know who's going to do it, and number two, you know, I'm just. These are all historical calculations.